Welcome to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. Featuring stimulating in-depth interviews with special guests from all areas of the arts. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative, exploring whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. There's a topic hour where I go out and about to talk to people on the street about a wide variety of different subjects that affect everybody locally and globally. And then there's the arts hour, which we are now in, where I interview local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. And I combine a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways we engage with the world. As part of my coverage of the 2017 Cinequest Film Festival in Silicon Valley, this week I'm talking to some very talented international filmmakers. First, I'm featuring human rights expert and filmmaker Rukun Tekesh, whose award-winning short film, The Circle, had its California premiere at Cinequest. And The Circle is a production of Saria Films, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that, a young independent film collective established in 2016 by Rukun Tekesh. And as an ancient name, Saria means woman cavalry, and the collective is prioritizing bringing women filmmakers to work together in all stages of filmmaking and to empower them in the film industry in Turkey. The Circle has won Best Film Awards at multiple international film festivals, and it's set in a 12,000-year-old Mesopotamian ancient city, which sadly is slated to be flooded in 2017 to create a dam. The film is based on true events and features 39 local children. It's a subtle and moving film, artfully capturing the natural beauty of the region and the different aspects of its characters. And it's the debut of Rukun Tekesh and is an artistic exploration of the global reality of discrimination through the true story of the Isidi Circle. It's a beautiful film, both cinematographically and in the simple power of its story. I caught up with Rukun Tekesh at Cinequest in the foyer of the iconic California Theatre. So let's hear our conversation. I'm here with Rukun Tekesh, who has her short film, The Circle, as an official selection at Cinequest. Welcome to the show. Thanks for talking to me. And perhaps you could tell listeners first a little bit about your film.
Sure. Thank you very much for inviting me. My film is about discrimination, actually. It's a social drama. It's how do we feel with our differences? How do we live with the differences? And what is the reflection of discrimination in children's world, basically? And very, very briefly, this is the film about. But in the film, throughout the film, you see there are a number of circles that is suppressing the differences.
A number of circles, right?
Number of circles. suppressing the differences, and in the heart of this, circles within circles, there's a little girl. She is different religiously, linguistically, and ethnically. So, and she's a girl.
Right. Yeah. So she's got it all going on in that sense. Now you're from Turkey,
yes.
And so the film is subtitled, and it says that it has Turkish, Kurdish and Arabic dialects. So that's a reflection of the spread of children.
Yes, this is, I wanted to capture in the film the differences in the region. So we have different ethnicities, religions and languages. And in that region that I shot, which is southeast of Turkey on the border of Syria and Iran, it's a majority Kurdish population and secondary Arabic. Republic, and the third on the list is the Turkish, even though it is within the Turkish Republic. But I wanted to have also a few Turkish-speaking children in it too. So yeah, it's three languages with subtitles.
It was beautiful cinematography, and I understand it said at the end of the film that this area is going to be flooded, so you're recording an area that is not going to exist very soon.
Yes, it's true. Unfortunately, in November 2007, they will be opening a hydroelectric dam, a water.
17?
Yeah, 2017, which in 6 months almost. And this 12,000 years old city will be gone, unfortunately. This is an ongoing project for 35 years, and it's been some postponements, but the last 5 years the government has pushed really fast, and now is at the end. And and I wanted to shoot my film in that area because the story of this little girl is exactly the story of the place, that what's going to happen and what's happening now to this place. So and I am from that region myself. I born in that region, so it was also my way of honoring the place too, yes, before it disappears.
Yes. And you begin the film with very wide shots that are held for quite a long period of time, and then there's just tiny, you know, the people in it are very tiny, so I almost got a sense of it being a tableau, of almost like a painting, because it's held for quite a while. Is that the effect you were going for?
Yes, exactly, because when I was writing this story, I was seeing certain images, and this was the image I wanted to show: the beauty, wildness, and the amazingness of this place. On one hand, on the other hand, I did not want to show the children immediately. They were just small part of this mesmerizing place. So that's why I wanted to have wide shots, for this couple of reasons, basically. And then we come closer and closer, and it also goes with the idea of the circling. So it's the first the wide, then the smaller and smaller and smaller. At the end, we go to the little girl, and this is where we come the closest close-up of the film, which is the girl, basically.
Right. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you'll want to answer this. You don't have to if you feel it reveals too much of the film. But I was interested about the circle that's drawn around the little girl. Is that a symbolic part of the film, or is that actually part of the culture that they believe that can sort of encapsulate and trap somebody?
It's a real practice.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a real practice. Everything you see in this film is from reality. It's a real practice they have done towards Yazidi Kurds, Yazidis, simply. So, it is very symbolic, though, too.
Yes.
But it's a real practice. They used to circle people, not only children, but big adults. There are even cases that they circled the whole village so the people couldn't leave out. But it's also symbolizing what Yazidis is going through in the region, in Syria, with the ongoing unfortunate situation. How the ISIS is treating them. It is the circling them out, basically. They're the one not only discriminated but face the violence and the highest levels. So it's symbolizing that as well.
Yes. And so you're saying they you know, have drawn circles around villages or whatever. Are they then prevented from leaving physically, or is it just that they believe they can't get out of the circle?
It's a number of reasons. I mean, philosophically, according to religion, but first of all, I need to make a point. Yazidism is the first monotheistic religion in the history of religion, actually considered, and is the oldest one. So they have a very, very deep philosophy about good and the bad, and the God and the evil. They have no concept of evil as such. According to our religion, if someone does something mean or bad to them, they should not react. They should remain within that situation until that person realizes its own wrongdoing and cleans up. Once they make a circle, so the person who made the circle has to clear the circle. So they wait until that person to come to the realization. That's philosophically and religiously. On the other hand, of course, psychologically and sociologically, I mean, it's a big fear within, right? I mean, you know that you're a minority and you've been treated badly and you've been circled. Even you don't care at that time, let's say, your religion or in the philosophy of it, and you want to leave, you can't because it's a lot of fear. Yeah. What's going to happen if you leave, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why they can't leave. And in our case, in the film, I try to capture both aspects. So that's why the girl prays while she is within the circle. Yeah. But on the other hand, she's just a little girl. She's scared.
Yes. Yeah.
She can't leave the circle. And she also learned from the adults or the others who have gone through the same process, same mean practice, that they don't leave. So she doesn't leave.
I see.
Like the other kids who made the circle and being mean to her, they learn from the adults too. Yeah. So it's a reflection of adult life within the children setting. Yes.
That's a really interesting philosophy. I mean, we live in a world where there's an impetus really to brush things under the carpet and not deal with things. So I think that's very interesting philosophically. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. I'm talking to my arts guest, filmmaker and human rights expert, Rukan Tekesh. We've been discussing her wonderful short film, award-winning film, The Circle. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation with Rukan after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland. Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere.
Well, we can do the things we want, we can do the things we like, but if we're taking all the time, well, I just don't think that it's right.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Bookshop Santa Cruz is celebrating 50 years of independent bookselling in the community that we love. Visit Bookshop Santa Cruz downtown and join in the festivities as we celebrate our customers and the books that make it all possible. Bookshop Santa Cruz, celebrating an amazing 50 years in downtown Santa Cruz.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Right now, I'm featuring my arts interview with filmmaker and human rights expert, Rukun Tekesh. Let's hear the rest of our conversation about her award-winning moving short film set in Mesopotamia called The Circle. The children in the film are very young and they're great. How did you find them and how did you work with them? How was that?
When I decided to make film, I wanted to make it as real as possible because the whole story is real. And so I decided not to work with actors, actresses, child actors, but to work with the real children of the region. So I know the region. I've been visiting there. So I went and basically stayed in three schools as a guest. The kids did not know why I am there as a guest. They just knew that I'm a guest. So I was also observing the children, and I was trying to find the real characters. I mean, the real version of my characters from that classrooms. So after observing them for days, I found them basically, the three leading roles, and then I talked with the families, etc. And when I found the real versions of my characters, they didn't have to really do too much, you know, in terms of acting. Yeah. And one of the reasons that I wanted to really work with these kids, because they carry this feeling that I'm trying to share with the audience in my film. Yes. So that's why it became all very naturally blended. But again, it was not very easy thing to have 39 children on set, three of the leading roles. So and I'm Kurdish, but my Kurdish is not very good because I left the region while I was very young, and so they speak 99% Turkish. I had Kurdish, sorry, and 1% Turkish. So with my broken Kurdish, I tried to communicate with them everything, even though I had a translator. But especially the ones in the leading role, they wanted to only communicate with me. But we managed. But the first 1.5 days, I couldn't shoot anything. It was just for them to get used to the camera and play with that, to see themselves behind the camera, front of the camera.
Yes.
Then I had only 3 days to shoot everything, basically, and we did.
Yeah. What is the film industry like in Turkey, and what is it like as a woman in whatever industry there is there?
First of all, let me clarify one thing. I am a first-time filmmaker with this short, and I have no cinema education nor experience in the cinema industry. I'm a human rights expert. I worked for many years in United Nations and now in Turkey also working in the field of human rights. So from a human rights point of view, we're all suffering as a woman in any sector we are, and especially in the cinema industry in Turkey. Unfortunately, there is no room for women to grow up. I mean, we have only like 2 DOP, director of photography working, and one of which work with me in this film. And there are some amazing women with great capacities, but they have not been given the opportunity to show themselves. So with this film, I wanted to also work mainly with women. So I decided at least half of my crew should be women. We're more than half, actually, women worked. The whole camera team is women. My assistant is woman, etc. But it is very difficult. The more I learn, the more I'm in now into the industry, I see that it's very, very tough for women to do what they want to do in this field, unfortunately. But for me, I will always work with women DOPs, and I will make sure I will always have at least half of my crew as women.
So what has motivated you to go into film then?
Well, it's I had an accident. Let's start from there. And I broke 2 vertebrae. And I could have stayed physically disabled also. And it was a process of healing for 5 months where I had to basically stuck in the bed. So this is where the whole writing started, because I love reading, I love watching films, I love my friends visiting me, but I knew I had a long time that I had to remain within this restriction. So I wanted to convert that pain into something. And I started writing, basically, and the idea was not just was not shooting film, it was just like focusing in something and doing something creative where I am. But after I wrote a number of stories, which are all personal stories, this is also a very personal story, I have my friends read my stories, and they said, you have to shoot. I mean, or somebody has to shoot. These are amazing short or fiction films, yeah. Stories. And then I started thinking, like, why not? Yeah, that's good, you know. It's all human rights subjects, and it's very personal. Yeah. And first I thought I will give to a director, but then the more I thought that they are so personal, I couldn't pass them to anyone. I said, okay, if I will be healed out of this situation and healthy, I will do my first short. And that's the first one. That's the first one I wrote, and that's the first one I shot, basically. And it's my father's story. That's the boy who's regretful in the film is my father. That's a real story. Yeah.
Well, it's quite an achievement with your first film to get official selection at Cinequest. You must be pleased about that. Yeah. What are you hoping for with the film? What's the next steps?
The film has been already around a number of festivals. Cinequest is our Californian premiere, actually. In the U.S., we were also in Chicago International Children's Film Festival, where we got the Best Film by an Emerging Director. Oh, and we were in, thank you, in Canada, in Montreal World Film Festival, in Oldenburg International Film Festival, in Clermont-Ferrand International Film Festival, at Cannes as well, and also in Turkey, Independent Film Festival, and there are a few more I forgot, but and there are more festivals now lined up. This month it will be in 3 festivals, in April, in June. It's traveling the world around. Yeah. I cannot anymore. I mean, in a few I will attend, but I'm going to shoot now in mid-April a documentary about the place that I shot my film before it goes away, basically, before it disappears. And then also in September, another short fiction, again, another social drama, human rights film, basically. But the film is welcomed. I'm so happy that its messages are taken. Regardless, the people, the viewers, the audience, they don't have to know the local realities, the political, cultural, social realities, because the case that the film is representing is a universal case. It's about being discriminated, and it's about being the discriminator, and it's about being bystander.
Yes, yeah.
So this is everywhere.
It's very relevant in America right now, yeah, and everywhere.
Unfortunately.
Sadly, yes, yeah. So will there be a time when listeners can see the film, or do you not know at this point? I mean, if they're interested, can they go to your website to sort of see the trailer? Or
On our website, the original name of the film is Heverk. The website is www.heverk.com, heverk.com, they can watch the trailer there. And once we finish the festival travelings of the film, I like to put it also open on the social media and YouTube and Vimeo, because the whole point of making this film is basically to reach the audience with its messages. So hopefully early next year we'll do that too.
Great. I'm very interested in how art in all its forms can help people potentially process difficult events, whether they be personal or witnessed. Is that a form of art that you understand as well? I mean, is that part of your art that you feel it can help people?
Yeah, I believe that cinema is the strongest medium of delivering messages. And since the time now is almost 20 years I'm working on human rights, I have always supported cinema and human rights, because they can deliver the messages that we as the workers in this field, working hard politically and through the laws to deliver. So it's fastest. Anywhere in the world, you can reach anyone and they will just get it simply. So yes, I believe that's why I decided to make the film, and that's why I will continue to make films as such, so that people can find something about themselves within, or even it's not, they can empathize the situation that the others are going through. Yeah. So it will give them a different perception and perspective to understand that difficulties.
And finally, I like to ask people on my show if you can remember the earliest experience you had with art of any form where you realized it could have a real emotional impact and not just be entertainment.
The earliest experience, childhood, you mean? Well, it is very interesting that you raised this question, because I was having this chat with my brother a year ago, and he studied cinematography, but he actually not practicing cinema. Yeah. And when I shot the film and he saw first time my film, he said, "This is so funny. I studied cinematography, but you did human rights. But now I remember you were the filmmaker of our family." I said, "How is that?" Because I was like, I didn't recall anything like that. Yeah. He said, "Don't you remember? You were 7, 8 years old and you were collecting all the kids in the neighborhood and organizing your own theater and making, giving them role. You were the director of us and you were giving us roles and we were playing, you know, this famous Snow White and you made these tickets to sell to the parents and they came and watch our, you know, thing. And this was like every summer you were doing." I was like, "Yes, I was doing, but I never kind of related that to now, basically, to what am I doing?" And when he made me, told me about that, I was like, "Wow, yeah, you have a point." That's one. But I've been dancing for many years, and I've been painting for many years, and this is like, and I wanted to be a dancer actually. That was my heart in.
Yes.
But life happened so that I couldn't. But I'm still today dancing.
That's right.
But yeah, for me, earliest I remember is dancing, but related with the cinema is what my brother had mentioned, basically. Yeah. Yes.
So it sounds like from an early age you've been engaging very creatively with the world as part of your natural life, which I think is what artists tend to do.
Yeah, it is probably. But I never thought that I would be, I mean, I wanted to be an artist, of course. Actually, I wanted to be a dancer, but you know, born in Turkey, raised there. Okay, I lived as of age 19 in US and Europe for 16 years, and then I go back again to Turkey just 5 years ago. Still, the period that I was growing up, being an artist was a good thing, but not like welcomed by the society. You have been looked upon like, oh, okay, an artist. So I think this perception have also pushed me to go to other thing which I had my heart on, which is the social injustice that I was always interested. So, but if I were grow up in a different country, probably I would have been early age and professionally in arts.
Right, Well, it's a really beautiful film. I really encourage listeners to check out your website and also look out for it. I'll put up some information when it becomes available on social media, because I think a lot of people should see it. It's really beautiful. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Thanks very much again there to Rukun Tekesh. And you can go to the website heverk.com, which is heverk.com. If you go to my website, It's a Question of Balance.com, you'll be able to find the podcast page with the audio and also links and photos of Rukun and the film. So I'd encourage you to do that. Next up, I'm talking to Australian filmmaker Romy Trower about her film, What If It Works. We're going to a break now, but join me after these messages.